Welcome back to the show. 26 past 7 on your Wednesday morning. Time to touch base now with Peter Johnston, tournament director of the Kooyong Classic and former Australian tennis player. Pete, good morning.
Morning, Maisie.
How was your view on Nick Kyrgios last night? What did you take out of that one? And is this just about where he's at the moment? Are we always going to see Nick Kyrgios floating around that 20 to 40 mark in the world?
Well, look, I think he was definitely one of the tougher draws, obviously. He hasn't lost first round here before. And Raonic, I thought, was looking as sharp as I've seen him in a couple of years. So it was a really tough matchup. And look, he probably needed the run. I think that was at the end, my end sort of feeling from it. It was just probably, you know, Raonic just a little sharper. And then Nick sort of, he just couldn't find a way in. And Raonic doesn't give you any way in either, really. It's not a match that you can get rhythm against him, and look, it's tough for Nick now, I think, because he's not going to be ranked 20 or 30 anymore. He's going to be ranked sort of 60 or 70, and that's going to make it a bit of a rebuild time for him, and has to play probably more matches now because he's not going to get buys in some main draws. He's going to have to even play some qualies in some of the bigger events. And so I think, you know, it's sort of a reset time for him at the moment.
In that regard, is this where his career is at in terms of a crossroad? Is this the time where we'll either find out whether Nick Kyrgios wants to be a top 20 player or not?
I don't know so much about a crossroad. I think it's more every player has to deal with it when your ranking drops and or when you're defending a lot of points from the previous year. It's definitely a position that he hasn't been in for a while, though, so he has to, take the medicine of being ranked a little lower and just grind it out to some degree. I felt like he was in really good frame of mind in terms of how he's been handling the media and handling sort of the appearances and everything so far this summer. And I think it's been sort of a bit sad that he hasn't put them on the court as much as I'm sure he'd like, because he was fairly almost a bit serene. I know last night he was angry with himself, and but in a relative sense, I think he sort of handled the spotlight well over January, and now he's really got to probably, you know, get away, play a lot of tournaments where you have to grind it out.
And is it just that simple, Peter, for Nick now, is just moving forward, is just playing all those tournaments, getting his body right, probably first and foremost, but that's really what he needs to do now, is just play a lot around the world and work hard, surely.
Yeah, I think it's sort of as simple and as difficult as that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that's actually, it's really tough. And
yeah.
Look, you see other guys, look at, say, Stan Wawrinka going through it, you know, which was due to injury, and Murray due to injury, but when your ranking drops, that's the system. You've got to work. You've got to. You're not picking up quite the guarantees that you were getting money wise. You know, like Nick is big in the box office anywhere he plays. And but when you're ranked that little bit lower, then the tournament's got a little more bargaining power. Or you know sometimes he might even need a wild card. And so it's just a whole different mindset. But look, I think I feel like he's certainly going to be able to handle it. It's just that you have to, you know, suck it up a little bit and go for it.
What have you made of the whole situation surrounding Bernard Tomic's comments and also the responses, which were basically no responses from Leighton Hewitt and also Kokkinakis and Kyrgios when they were asked about it? What do Tennis Australia need to do, or do they not need to do anything? Can they let this one sort of just play out and get on with life?
Well, there's a lot of aspects to it, Maisie, isn't there, really? And it's been played out a lot. I mean, the way I see it, you've got Davis Cup is sort of a segment within the overall Tennis Australia. It's a team. It's managed by Leighton, and it's like a footy team, you know. And so he runs that team with the support of Tennis Australia and Davis Cup, but it's only a small component of the whole tennis year. And, in fact, it's going through a lot of change. And so, there's a lot of people who question the relevance of it these days. I think that's the Davis Cup piece, which is where Bernie was sort of giving some opinions on should Leighton play doubles or not. They're all just his opinions, which I think he's totally entitled to. I think then, though, you've got the broader situation of Tennis Australia, and it me, Tennis Australia should be a broad church, fostering every player, adding value to every player, if you like. Not like no one's out, everyone's in. You don't have to, I don't mean by writing out big checks, but just sort of that's your family, and you sort of got to manage the family as best you can, and also at the same time acknowledging that players are individuals and they're not necessarily beholden to you. But I think, you know, I feel like it's got a little bit blurred between this Davis Cup issue and the broader tennis issue. And, you know, I think the other part of it is, look, Bernie doesn't like doing media, and so he's not one to call his own press conferences or anything like this. So the time to get him is once he's played his matches. And then, and I felt really disappointed that a lot of people were construing his comments as being like a sook sour grapes from losing to Cilic. He actually gave Cilic a lot of credit in the match and had the utmost respect for him. He actually, even in the press conference, had respect for Leighton because he said what a great champion he was and so forth. Like, so, I feel like there's been a bit of blur. It's easy for people to jump to, oh, Tomic's at it again, but I think there's some layers within it that need some more consideration before anyone forming any views.
Peter, we've spoken a little bit about the negative side over the last couple of days, but there's a lot of shining lights in Australian tennis at the moment, but one who I have had a little bit to do with, Ash Barty. She's played a little bit of WBBL over the last little bit. So she sort of had a little bit of time out and did a little bit of other things, but she seems to be like she's on the right track now.
Are you claiming her, John?
Possibly. See how she goes today. No.
Oh, she'll go all right today, I think, too.
Yeah, I think so.
She's just been an out-and-out joy for all Australians to watch, hasn't she? She just handles herself so well. She's a talented, interesting, exciting player. She's humble. She's goes about her business. A real chance we're not talking winning a couple of rounds here. We're talking about being a contender. I mean, so close last weekend against Petra Kvitova in the final of Sydney, probably should have won. And I'm thinking Kvitova is one of the favourites, so surely Ash is in there. And it's going to be she and Alex Dimon are other Aussies still in, and that's great. It's actually been quite a few Aussies do well this so far, and but I think it's now going to be fasten your seatbelts for Alex and for Ash.
Can't wait to see them both in action later on today. Pete, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate your time on RSN 927, and we'll touch base later next week.
Thanks, guys.
Peter Johnson there, former Australian tennis player. Now.